Blog Talk Radio.
Within me, bless his holy name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it, and welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson in basic theology. Amen. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. If you would like to join our lessons, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. What is a Thanksgiving prayer? A Thanksgiving prayer allows people to thank God for what they are given by God. A prayer of Thanksgiving addresses a number of factors, including people, objects, life, food, shelter, nature, health, or weather. In daily life, people thank others for holding open a door, a gift received, or a meal shared. According to the Case for Christ Study Bible, Psalms 100 describes this prayer: shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come
bye.
Praise be to God. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Dear God, we want to thank you for all of those things you do that we never see, helping us get through each day safely, making sure our family is protected, and all of the other countless blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to play another selection.
The clothes that he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he'd drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Some would ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. He looks like you. Like you.
What will Jesus do?
Amen. Praise be to God. What would Jesus do? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, please keep our family, friends, and loved ones safe today. Lord, watch over them and let good health, happiness, answered prayers, and many blessings be their portion. If someone is hurting today, may you comfort them with your love, grace, and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in basic theology. So at this time, I will play another selection, All to the Glory of God.
All to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. In all that we do, no matter where we are, all to the glory of God. Everything belongs to Him in the fullness of His blessing. Nothing is possible without God. We come to know His mercy, humbling ourselves to His mountain. We pray His holy. As far as the eye can see, He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. His love knows no bounds. His goodness always true, and He's coming in the clouds. Restore our souls brand new. All to the glory
Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, new week, new blessings. Let's all thank God for another day. Each week is a new opportunity to better ourselves and trust God with anything we are struggling with. He will make a way. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And now, it is time for our devotional message. Amen. Praise be to God. Which entitled, today is the 29th, The Path to Peace. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms chapter 29, verse 11. Praise be to God. And it says, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Again, the title is The Path to Peace. Wherever you are in life, you can experience God's peace deep within your soul. Such tranquility comes when you acknowledge your trust in the Lord and release control of your situation to him. This does not mean you avoid responsibilities, not at all. It means you acknowledge that you need the Lord to help and guide you. Question, how do you do so? Well, there are four essentials to experiencing God's peace. First, express your total dependency on the Lord. Acknowledge God as your strength and refuge. Shift your focus from your finite abilities to his infinite power. Second, pray. Prayer and meditation on God's word are essential to experiencing true peace because they are the key to having intimacy with Christ, your Prince of Peace. Third, speak out and demonstrate faith. Hold on to the fact the Lord has promised never to leave or forsake you, and can get you through anything you face. Just trust in him, and he will get you through any and everything. And finally, focus on God, because certainly, he will give you the wisdom, strength, and the peace you need to withstand whatever happens. Friends, the Lord is glad to give you his peace. Therefore, stop worrying. Give him your concerns and trust him to lead you. Amen. Praise be to God. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me, the path of peace. Trust in
this
the Lord. Fellow,
this is your grandmother's friend, so that's a moment.
Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for your peace and for delivering us through all circumstances. We praise your name. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. At this time, I will play another selection. Praise be to God. Because we know that all belongs to God.
Belongs to you. Belongs to you.
Praise be to God. The title of this message is Follow Your Conscience. In Hebrews 10:22, and the CSB Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed in pure water. God gave you a conscience for a very good reason, to make your path conform to his will. Billy Graham correctly observed, most of us follow our conscience as we follow a wheelbarrow. We push it in front of us in the direction we want to go. To do so, of course, is a profound mistake. Yet all of us, on occasion, have failed to listen to the voice that God planted in our hearts. And all of us have suffered the consequences. Wise believers make it a practice to listen carefully to that quiet internal voice. Count yourself among that number. When your conscience speaks, listen and learn. In all likelihood, God is trying to get his message through. And in all likelihood, it is a message that you desperately need to hear. God desires that we become spiritually healthy enough through faith to have a conscience that rightly interprets the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If I am walking along the streets with a very disfiguring hole in the back of my dress, of which I am in ignorance, it is certainly a very great comfort to me to have a kind friend who will tell me of it. And similarly, it is indeed a comfort to know that there is always abiding with me a divine, all-seeing comforter who will reprove me for all of my faults and will not let me go on in a fatal unconsciousness of them. My conscience is captive to the word of God. Guilt is a healthy regret for telling God one thing and doing another. Here's a thought for today. If your friends are telling you one thing and your conscience is telling you something else, trust your conscience. In 1 Timothy 1:5 in the CSB says, now the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. In Acts 24:16 in the CSB, I always do my best to have a clear conscience toward God and men. In Romans 12:2, CSB, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. In Psalms 51 and 10 CSB, God, create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. May the Lord richly add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always to the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you speak to us through the Bible, through teachers, and through friends. And Father, you speak to us through that still small voice that warns us when we stray from your will. In these quiet moments and throughout the day, show us your plan for our life, Lord, that we might serve you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Wednesdays from 6 p.m. From 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And again, at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in basic theology. So at this time, I will play another selection because our God is awesome.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Gives strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say, come on, if you know he's awesome, say it. Lift your voice. Forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice. Oh,
Somebody ought to celebrate the arms of God.
Amen. Praise be to God. Our God is awesome. A friend of mine sent me this prayer this morning, so I would like to share such a beautiful prayer with you. It says, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for being able to see, hear, touch, feel, and walk this morning. Provide a way for those who lack any of these, we pray. Lord, we are blessed because you are a forgiving God, an understanding God. You have done so much for us and still keep on blessing us, also our families and friends. We say thanks. Thanks for opening doors to bless and close doors that would be detrimental. Forgive us our sins, known and unknown. Continue to keep us safe from all dangers and harm, seen and unseen. Let us start today with a new attitude and plenty of gratitude. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. I thought that was such a beautiful prayer that she sent me this morning on Facebook or Messenger, however she sends it. So again, while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play another selection. And again, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in basic theology. Amen. To God be the glory. Bread of life.
Bread of life sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter, but you are the living word, say it now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread sent down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth. A holy king, a carpenter. You are the
awesome ruler.
Awesome ruler.
Gentile redeemer. This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree you died to save man.
The tree,
Jesus, Jesus. yourself saying.
God. El Salai, again and again, I enter into my day with the greatest of intentions, ready to trust in you as your name remind me of your great power. Yet when the winds blow and the waves crash against the shore, I forget to look at you. My El Salai, God of my rock, I forget that you are strong and that you have not been moved by what moves me. Forgive me each and every time I have not sought refuge in you, God, my rock. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. So again, we are waiting on our speaker for this evening. And while we are waiting, I will play a short selection. Come, all ye broken.
Come all ye broken, come all ye broken, come all ye broken. I see the burdens you carry. I want to save you from the weight of the world. My child, why do you tarry? Bring me the things that bind up your soul. For my yoke is easy, the burdens I give are light. Come on, ye broken. Come all ye faint of heart, come all ye weary souls, and find your rest in me. Leave the cares of this world far behind. Keep your feet on narrow road. Though the path on this journey is winding, fear not, the My word is a lamp to your step. My word is a lamp. My name is alive. Come all ye broken. Come all ye faint of heart. Come all ye weary souls and find your rest. Come all ye broken. Come all ye faint of heart. Come all ye weary souls and find.
We're waiting on our speakers, running a little behind schedule. So I will play another selection while we're waiting. A short one.
Just gotta wait. You gotta trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
A God you can't hurry.
He'll be there. Don't you worry. Oh, well, he may not come when you call him, but he's right on time. Oh, you can't hurry God. Oh, no, you just gotta wait. Gotta trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
He's a God you can't hurry. Carry on.
Amen. And now it is time for our lesson this evening by our very own Barbara A. Amore, who's going to come and conduct our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Good evening, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Painful, but I praise God I'm here. I woke up this morning to see this new day, and I'm just blessed.
Praise the Lord. We all are.
I did a little too much yesterday.
Oh, yeah? What'd you do?
Yeah, I was, you know, doing some work in the house, and boy, I just went overboard, and I'm paying for it today.
I hear you. Feel better.
Thank you.
Is anyone else on the line with us?
Well, Valerie was with us, but she left.
Okay. So we're going to open with prayer.
Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, once and again, a few of your humble servants gather to give you praise, glory, and honor. Father God, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a new day that we have never seen before. Father God, we thank you for the change in the weather, the change in the atmosphere. We just thank you. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're going to do, and all that you're doing right now. Lord, bless us, and we will be blessed. Keep us, and we will be kept. And we can't thank you enough. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. So I thank you for helping all those who are in dire straits, whether it's in Maui or in the war somewhere in this world. Lord God, thank you for helping them recover and just get back to being who they are. Thank you for rescuing them, Lord God. Thank you for bringing an end to their situations and their circumstances. So we love you today, Lord. We can't do anything without you. Again, thank you for who you are, what you've done, and what you're going to do. Bless everyone on the line, everyone that was on the line, everyone that will join us, everyone that's listening in. Any method that they are on, any device that they're on, thank you for them. And God, we say forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission, and bless this lesson, Father God. Give us understanding for what it is that the author is saying all about you. We thank you in Jesus' name. You're the best. Amen.
Amen. Nothing but the best. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Oh, welcome back, Valerie. Good to have you with us.
Good evening. Welcome, Valerie. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to resume our lesson, which was number 43 on page 298, and we're about to get into our other lesson, other chapter, but we just want to finish this up. So we got to take a look at the last paragraph or two, the last two paragraphs, I should say, talking about the third division, Christ as King. So the Gadarenes repudiated his claim, Matthew 8:34. The scribe rejected his claim to be able to forgive sins. Many people in various cities rejected his credentials. We see that in Matthew 11:20-30 and 13:53-58. The Pharisees rejected him. We see that in Matthew 12. 15:1-20, 22:15-23. Herod, Pontius Pilate, Gentiles and Jews all rejected him with finality at the crucifixion, John 1:11 and Acts 4:27. Because the king was rejected, the Messianic Davidic kingdom was, from a human viewpoint, postponed. Though he never ceases to be king, and of course is king today as always, Christ is never designated as king of the church. Acts 17:7 and 1 Timothy 1:17 are no exceptions, and Revelation 15:3, king of saints, in quotation marks. King James Version is king of the nations, in quotation marks, in the critical and majority text. Though Christ is a king today, he does not rule as king. This awaits his second coming. Then the Davidic kingdom will be realized, Matthew 25:31, Revelation 19:15-20. Then the priest will sit on his throne, bringing to this earth the long-awaited golden age, Psalm 110. So let's go back up to the second paragraph and look at Gadarenes repudiated his claim. See that in Matthew 8:34.
Matthew 8:32.
34. And I think we read this already, but.
Malachi, Matthew.
Want to read that, Evangelist?
I'm sorry. Give me 1 second, please.
Okay.
So better, because I can't hear. I don't know. I've got to get my ears checked. Okay, I'm back. You said Matthew's who?
Matthew 8:34.
Okay, 8:34. How did I get all the way up? Let's see, I can't hear too well. My ears got to be 32, 34. Then the entire town came out to meet Jesus, but they begged him to go away and leave them alone. Amen.
All right. So what had happened at that point?
Oh, that's when he had took the demons out of the man or the guys and sent them into the pigs. And the pigs went over the cliff.
Right. And drowned.
And, yeah, drowned. Okay. Yes.
So now, Valerie, okay. You have your Bible?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to look at Matthew 9:3.
Matthew 9.
And behold, certain of the scribes said unto themselves, this man blasphemeth.
What was that?
Matthew 9:3.
Mm-hmm.
And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth.
Oh, okay. Thank you. And mine reads from the Message. Jesus, impressed by their bold belief, said to the paraplegic, cheer up, son. I forgive your sins. Some religion scholars whispered, why, that's blasphemy. And then we're going to look at Matthew 11, 20 through 30, Evangelist, and then Valerie get Matthew 13, 53 through 68, if you will. 11 first, 20 through 30.
11, 30, 29, 30. It says, "For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Amen.
11:20 through 30.
Oh, 20 through 30. Oh, my bad. Sorry about that. Jesus promised rest mm-hmm. for the soul. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns where he had done so many of his miracles because they hadn't repented of their sins and turned to God. "What sorrow awaits you, Chorazin and Bethsaida?" Pronounce it?
Chorazin and Bethsaida. Bethsaida.
"For if the miracles I did in you have been done in wicked Tyre and Sidon, their people would have repented of their sins long ago, clothing them in burlap and throwing ashes on their heads to show their remorse. I tell you, Tyre and Sidon will be better off on judgment day than you. And you people of Capernaum, will you be honored in heaven? No, I will go down to the place of the dead." Wow. "You will go down to the place of the dead. For if the miracles I did for you had been done in wicked Sodom, it would still be here today. I tell you, even Sodom will be better off on judgment day than you." At that time, Jesus prayed this prayer. "O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry burdens, heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Wow. Beautiful. Thank you. 13. 53 through 58.
Jesus rejected at Nazareth. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in the synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence have this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? and his brethren, James and Jose and Simon and Judah, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then has this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief.
Because of their what?
Unbelief.
Okay. Thank you. So what do you think about that? Why did Jesus stop doing miracles in his own hometown?
Well, that's the word. Jesus has always said in his word, give not that which is holy unto the unbelievers. He says unto the dogs, or he says once you have witness and they don't receive you, just dust your feet off and keep it moving. You know, Jesus is not, he doesn't impose on people. We're not to impose our beliefs on people. The good people will accept Christ. Some people are looking for Christ, looking for loving and righteousness and a good life, and they will embrace Christ. We don't have to. The Bible split. It's the righteous and the wicked. So, you know, those people who crucified Christ, it was so cold. Jesus says in his word, don't give that which is holy to the dogs. It sounds cold. Or just keep it moving. Keep it moving.
Right.
You know, for your
so
own
why did
safety,
they reject him?
For your own
what
spirit.
Did he feel when they what did he feel when they rejected him in his own hometown? Or why did he stop doing miracles is the question.
Because they rejected him. He didn't perform as much miracles because of unbelief. You if they're not going to be receiving of it, it's you know, a waste of time. It's, you know, God got something for you, a soul to bring to Christ. You can't keep banging your head up against a wall and a wicked person that's doomed, and you know that does not want to accept Christ.
Right.
Or wants to live an evil life. And, you know, God said, keep it moving. Dust your feet off.
Okay.
Keep it moving. Jesus kept it moving.
All right. So he was not accepted there because of, I mean, he stopped doing miracles there because of their hostile indifference. It didn't, you know, it didn't faze them. You know, I'm doing all of this, Jesus was saying, and nobody is, you know, appreciating the fact that I'm doing miracles here in my hometown. They just didn't, it didn't faze. I know your mother, I know your father. Who are you? You know, so, like you said, shake the dust off and keep moving. Don't have to waste my talents here. I don't have to waste my gifts here. Let's take a look at, Matthew 12, and it's a long chapter. It's not that long, but we're going to break it in half. 12 goes through 50. So, Valerie, I'm going to ask you to take the first 25, and Evangelist, take the last half. Okay?
Okay.
And what chapter is that?
12.
Matthew 12.
Okay. So I go first, Matthew 12. The first, you said the first 25 verses?
Yeah, the first half.
G- Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were in hunger and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was in hunger, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Oh, have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days that the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you, this and that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this meaneth, I have mercy. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Ye would not have condemned the guiltless. But a son of man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he had departed thence, he went into the synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day, that they may accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then said he unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored it well, whole, like the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from them, and great multitudes followed him. And he healed them all and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Elias the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he sendeth forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentile trust. The Pharisees slander. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doeth not cast out devils, but thy Beelzebub, but the prince of the devils. And
amen.
Amen.
Jesus knew
amen.
Their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then the kingdom stand?
Amen.
I went past at 26.
That's okay. That's okay. Evangelist, I'm going to pick it
okay.
up from there.
26?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. If Satan is casting out Satan, he is divided and fighting against himself. His own kingdom will not survive. And if I am empowered by Satan, what about your own exorcists? They cast out demons, too, so they will condemn you for what you have said. But if I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. For who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man like Satan and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger, someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. Anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. So I tell you, every sin and blaspheming can be forgiven, except blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven. Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or in the world to come. Wow. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruits will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this. I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. Ooh. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Religious leaders asked Jesus for a miraculous sign. One day, some teachers of religious law and Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to show us a miraculous sign to prove your authority." Shame on you. But Jesus replied, "Only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign. But the only sign I would give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights." The prophet of Nineveh will stand up against this generation on Judgment Day and condemn it. For they repented of their sins at the preaching of Jonah. Now, someone greater than Jonah is here, but you refuse to repent. The queen of Sheba will also stand up against this generation on Judgment Day and condemn it, for she came from a distant land to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Now, someone greater than Solomon is here, but you refuse to listen. When an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert seeking rest, but finding none. Then it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept, and in order. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all entered the person and lived there. And so that person is worse off than before. That will be the experience of this evil generation, my Lord. Jesus describes his true family. As Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. Someone told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside and they want to speak to you. Jesus asked, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Then he pointed to his disciples and said, look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Amen.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Oh, I tell you.
Any thoughts about...
There was some harsh words back then because he was telling the people of Nineveh that if they don't repent, the judgment was going to come upon them. So they
that's what Jonah was saying.
Yeah.
Don't forget that was Jonah.
Jonah.
Not Jesus. That was Jonah. That was Jonah.
Yeah. Jonah?
Yeah, Jonah was to tell the people of Nineveh to repent.
Yeah, but Jonah, he was to tell the people, but Jesus was talking.
Jesus was comparing Jonah 3 days in the well
to himself.
To his own, right, 3 days in the earth.
Yes.
For his resurrection, right. But that's Jesus talking about Jonah.
Yes. Okay, got it.
Anything else?
And then the people was telling him that his mother and brothers were outside and they wanted to speak to him. So he was telling them, who is my mother? Who is my brothers? Who's my... And everyone that follows him is his mother, is his brother, is his sister. So not necessarily...
They're obedient.
Yes. That they be obedient to his command and follow him.
Right. So my title is Obedience is Thicker Than Blood. So even though his mother and his brothers are blood, he's looking at the disciples being even closer because they are obedient to his command. And they follow what he tells them to do. That's a lot. That's a lot.
It
Let's
is.
Look at 15, 1 through 20. Still in Matthew 15, 1 through 20.
Matthew 15, 14, 15. Me or Val?
You can take the first 10, and Valerie take the last 10.
Okay. Jesus teaches about the inner purity. Some Pharisees and teachers of religious law now arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They asked him, "Why do your disciples disobey age-old tradition?" "For they ignored our tradition of ceremonial hand washing before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you, by your tradition, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents. And so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. You hypocrites." Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. For he wrote, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a force, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God." 10, then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear. "Listen," he said, "and try to understand." Okay, that's 10. You want me to continue?
To finish 11 and let Valerie pick it up at 12.
Okay. "It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth." Amen.
Wow. Wow. All right. Valerie, 12 through 20, please.
That's chapter
15.
15.
"Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornicators, thieves, false witnesses, blasphemers. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man."
Amen. And the next one, thank you, is Matthew 22:15-23. I'll read that one. 15-23. Paying taxes. That's when the Pharisees plotted a way to trap him into saying something damaging. They sent their disciples with a few of Herod's followers mixed in to ask, "Teacher, we know you have integrity. Teach the way of God accurately, are indifferent to popular opinion, and don't pander to your students. So tell us honestly, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Jesus knew they were up to no good. He said, "Why are you playing these games with me? Why are you trying to trap me? Do you have a coin? Let me see it." They handed him a silver piece. "This engraving, who does it look like? And whose name is on it?" They said, "Caesar." "Then give Caesar what is his and give God what is his." The Pharisees were speechless. They went off shaking their heads. Amen.
Where were you reading?
Amen. I was reading 15 through 22, and I stopped at 22.
Oh, 22. So oh, that's why I was like, where is she reading? I can't
22.
Find it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I should have read through 23. Let's see.
Yeah.
It says, that same day, Sadducees approached him. "This is the party that denies any possibility of resurrection."
Mm-hmm.
They asked, "Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies childless, his mm-hmm. brother is obligated to marry his widow and get her with child. Here's a case where there were seven brothers. The first brother married and died, leaving no child, and his wife passed to his brother. The second brother also left her child, then the third, and on, all seven. Eventually, the wife died. Now, here's our question. Whose wife is she? She was the wife to each of them." Wow. That's some kind of lifestyle. She went through the whole family, right?
Yeah.
To the whole family. And then they want to know at the resurrection.
That was
back then?
I didn't hear you.
Wasn't that their tradition?
Yeah,
that was normal.
That's what they said. Okay? It says that the Sadducees said, Moses said, that was Moses' law. From God given to Moses, right?
Yeah.
So that was part of some commandments, or the commandments, I'll say. All right, let's take a look at John 1 and 11. I'm going to ask Valerie to do that. And then Acts 4 and 27. Still talking about being rejected. John 1 and 11.
Val.
John 1 and 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
And we just read that, right?
Yep. Yep.
Where he was in his hometown, and they weren't feeling him, so he was feeling hostile indifference from them. They didn't care one way or the other. He's performing miracles. And they don't want to receive him?
Nope.
I mean,
wash the dust off your
feet. What do you think he is?
They think he was just a prophet. They didn't
they
believe that.
They thought he was the devil. They thought
the
he was the devil.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
that's why he said. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's why he said that, how can Satan cast out Satan?
Right.
And they called him
right.
The devil.
But he was the devil.
Exactly.
So now you're going to read Acts 4 and 27.
27 says, in fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. Wow.
So all of them were against him.
Yep.
And we know that's one of the reasons that he was crucified. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
So let's take a look at Acts 17 and 7. Valerie, we almost finished with this chapter. Acts 17 and 7.
Acts 17 and 7.
Yeah.
Evangelist 1 Timothy 1 and 17 after that. Yes, ma'am. 17 and 7.
Whom Jason have received and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus.
So there, what's going on there?
Who Jason have received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jason received Jesus, and
right,
all those alike are able to, Jason, I mean, it's the bottom line that there is another king, one Jesus.
Exactly. So we know that, thank you. Caesar is the king. He's the Roman king, right? The emperor, really. Caesar is the emperor. But now they're saying that Jesus is king and Caesar is nothing. And you know that's going to infuriate them.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
They have denying that Caesar is the emperor, that Caesar is in charge. Uh-huh. Oh, no, we can't let
him. Oh, no, we ain't having this.
He's got to go, okay? And so at, what was that? 1 Timothy, sorry. That's 1 Timothy 1 and 17.
Okay, 17 says, all honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Look at this. Look at this. Mine says, I'll start from 15. 1 Timothy 1 and 15, it says, here's a word you can take to heart and depend on. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I'm proof. Public sinner number one, and this is Paul talking, of someone who could never have made it apart from sheer mercy. And now he shows me off, evidence of his endless patience to those who are right on the edge of trusting him forever. Deep honor and bright glory to the King of all time. One God, immortal, invisible, ever and always. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
Glory
Thank you,
and
Jesus.
Honor belongs to him alone. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
There are no exceptions.
Thank you.
No exceptions. And then, Valerie, we still got a couple of more. Revelation 15
and
3.
Oh, goodness.
Revelation
15
and
3.
What am I doing?
What are we doing? Revelation 15
and
3. And I'm doing Matthew
25. 15 and 3. Revelation. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of kings.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
My stars are two. I saw something like a sea made of glass. The glass all shot through with fire, carrying harps of God triumphant over the beast, its image, and the number of its name. The saved ones stood on the sea of glass. They sang the song of Moses, servant of God. They sang the song of the Lamb. Mighty your acts and marvelous, O God, the sovereign strong. Righteous your ways and true, King of the nations. Who can fail to fear you, God? Give glory to your name, because you only are holy. All nations will come and worship you because they see your judgments are right. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
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 And then we're going to look at, that was 15 and 3. Then we're going to look, give me a second here. I just want to make a note for myself. 15, 1 Timothy 1 and 17. Yeah. Honor is due God. And now we're going to look at Matthew 25 and 31.
Yes.
Sally. And then back to Revelation, 19:15.
Matthew 25 and 31. The judgment, when the Son of God shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory.
Jesus. And Maya says, when he finally arrives, blazing in beauty and all his angels with him, the Son of Man will take his place on his glorious throne. Then all the nations will be arranged before him, and he will sort the people out, much as a shepherd sorts out sheep and goats, putting sheep to his right and goats to his left. Hallelujah.
Wow.
And we're going to start with this last one, which is Revelation 19 and 15.
Revelation 15 says, the rider on the white horse, 15 says, from his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Let us say that.
And 20?
Well, that's the whole chapter of 20. So we'll come back to that.
Oh,
yeah,
I
that's
thought
the
it
whole
was
chapter.
Verse 20.
No, that's the whole 19 and 15. Let me see what mine says. Give me a moment. And it says, stars of 11. Then I saw heaven open wide, and a white horse and its rider, the rider named Faithful and True, judges and makes war in pure righteousness. His eyes are a blaze of fire, on his head many crowns. He has a name inscribed that's known only to himself. He is dressed in a robe soaked with blood, and he is addressed as Word of God. The armies of heaven, mounted on white horses and dressed in dazzling white linen, follow him. A sharp sword comes out of his mouth so he can subdue the nations, then rule them with a rod of iron. He treads the winepress of the raging wrath of God, the sovereign strong. On his robe and thigh is written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to end it here. Next time we'll look at we'll look at Revelation 20.
Okay.
And then we'll get on to Psalm 110. Then we'll get on to chapter 44. Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
So, ladies, thank you for a beautiful reading.
Thank
and
you.
And interpreting what you read. I appreciate
awesome.
It so much.
Awesome. Valerie, thank
I
you for being here with us.
I just want to know, Sister Barbara, what is your homework that I am going to make?
We don't have any homework today.
Oh, God.
Not today.
I'm back. I have a class again. I have one, a management class.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
So I got to take it easier on you.
I don't get to Michelle Obama's books, but I have been watching videos.
Oh, okay.
You know,
good for you.
Not too much on politics. She doesn't talk too much about politics.
Yet.
She encourages young people.
Okay.
And, you know, she talks about, you know, self-love and things like that.
Oh,
all right. That's good for any age.
Mm-hmm.
That's self-love. That's good for any age.
Honey, most of us adults need that lesson.
Any age.
Not just
that's
the
it,
children.
Any age.
Yes, exactly.
So, Evangelist, we're going to close it out now. I'm going to ask Deaconess Val to take us out in prayer, if you would.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I come to you as humble as I know how, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord God.
Lord God, I ask that you accept our repentance, Lord God, to your soul, godly sons, for all the sins that we commit knowingly and unknowingly, and ask that you wipe the slate clean, Lord God, that you wash us as red as snow, that you prepare us for our endeavor, for this woman's retreat, to rejuvenate us, God. We need to go back to our first love. Have more love in our hearts, Father.
Praise God.
To be a better example for you, Jesus. To draw souls to Christ, Lord God. And to project that true religion, Lord God. That loving spirit of Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray. Let us be ready, Lord God. Let's be ready for you, Lord God, and to accept you in our hearts and accept change. In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for that beautiful prayer.
Ladies, thank you once more. And listeners, thank you for listening. Love
thank
you all.
Teacher.
Have a beautiful
lesson.
You're so welcome. I'm glad you liked it. Hugs, blessings, and kisses to you all.
Pray for the people in Florida.
Yes,
ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Expecting a hurricane.
My baby
right?
To find out if he was okay. He said so
my
far,
son
they'll
in Florida.
They'll prepare for in case anything goes wrong.
Yes, yes.
But they won't come out. They won't.
Safety
it's hard sometimes.
For everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Be blessed, okay? Love you. Love you much.
Love you too.
Love
amen.
You
bye-bye.
Hug Chico for me. Hug Chico.
I will. Where is he anyway? Oh, in his bed.
Okay.
Until tomorrow night. Val, I hope you can join us tomorrow.
It depends on what time I get home.
Okay, you know,
if
we were at
6 o'clock for you.
We put it for 6 o'clock for you, remember?
She left.
Okay. Anyway, love you much.
Love you more. Have a good night.
Amen. You too. Thank you now. Shalom.
Okay. Shalom.
Shalom.